Alright, so we are in the book of 1 Peter. Alright, we are in the book of 1 Peter, and today it is about light-bearing citizen. Now, we have gone through GE15, and I believe during that period of time, it is very challenging for us, especially it took about 1 week after the election to get our very own Prime Minister, the 10th Prime Minister. So during that period of time, we were praying, you know, within the cell group. I believe most of us, we are also praying that, Lord, your justice prevail here in Malaysia. We were so fearful, or at least I was. I was so fearful that I have already prepared a WhatsApp note, all right, to be sent out to my CG members just in case we lost again. But we thank God that throughout that period of time, God hears our prayer, God acted upon his own will and granted us the Prime Minister that we deserve, Malaysia deserve. And we are a very long way from being a great nation once again. But let's look at certain things that we as Christians, also as citizens of this earth, what are some of our roles? All right. Before we even start that, we have generally, okay, we have generally three different stands that we as Christians take as a citizens on earth. So I'm not sure which one you are taking today, but let me just briefly go through the three different stanzas. Now, the first one, especially relatable to all Malaysians, the government is so corrupted that Christians should have as little to do with it as possible. Government officials sometimes equals to corruption. Whoever is working in the government official or in the government sector, we understood them to be corrupted. So as Christians, we should stay away from this corruption. So we should stay away to have anything to do with the government. So in a way, we don't see, we don't hear, or we don't speak about politics, or we don't speak about all these things that is related to government. So this could be your stance. Right, and this belongs to the first group of people that say that I don't want to do anything. I don't want to have anything to do with the country. Now, the second group, others believe that God has given the government authority in certain areas and the church authority in others. And we can work for either of them. So the church and government are two different spheres, complementing each other, but do not work together. Now, I believe this is why we have, this is why people thought where we have the Dark Ages, right? Where the Roman Catholic mix or have a church and government together, all right? So some of us, we believe that, okay, they cannot mix together. Now, there's a third group here, that Christians are responsible for improving the government. And they can do this politically by electing Christians or other high principle leaders. And some of us, we also can do this morally by serving as an influence for good in society. So church and government ideally work together for the good of all. So which stand are we taking today, this morning? Is it the first one, the second one, or the third one? Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, none of the governments or the nations of the world is perfect. In a world affected by sin, we are to live out the values of the kingdom of God. Only God's kingdom is perfect. But we also have to recognize that God's kingdom physically is not yet here. So how are we supposed to live our life right now? How can we still relate to the world but yet be somebody that belongs to God? So a reminder here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22, that Paul reminded the Ephesians here, God exalted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Christ above all. So how do we as Christians still belong to Christ and yet live in Malaysia especially? John Calvin has a very good way of putting things into perspective. It is a task of the church to make the invisible kingdom of God visible by living in such a way that we bear witness to the reality of kingship of Christ in our jobs, in our families, in our schools, and yes, even in our finances. So this should give us the platform or the foundation as to how we should live our life here, how to be a light-bearing citizen. So if you have your Bible with you, let's turn to the passage this morning. It's taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. Let me read to you now. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as a supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slave. Show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Now, I've highlighted a few words there. Emperor, governors. Now, when we look at this passage this morning, sometimes, you know, me being me, I'm a bit critical. I will ask, why is Peter highlighting governments, especially referring to the emperor and governors? If you look at it today, did Malaysia pay you to speak on their, you know, for, on their behalf? Did the Roman Empire pay Peter to speak on their behalf? You know, it sounds like Peter is asking them to submit to the rulings of the Roman Empire. Now, it is going to be very hard because, you know, let me give you the perspective. The church and the believers, they were severely persecuted by the government and the society of that day, that time. So if you remember, they were forced to flee their home. They were forced to leave everything behind. Whether it's money, whether it's clothes, property, jobs, and profession. All this, they have to leave behind because of the persecution. Now, if you have been here long enough, let's go through 1 Peter chapter 1 all the way until today. You'll be able to see that this was the situation at that time. 1 Peter 1:1, to God's elect exiles, they were chased out of their home. Exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They are a group of people that are homeless. They were driven out of their home. And immediately after that, Peter brought to their attention a praise to God for a living hope, who is Jesus Christ. After that, Peter reminded them to live a life that is holy and to remind them that they are living stone and they are a chosen people of God. And from now onwards, we are going to look at how to live godly lives in a pagan society. Sounds familiar? Are we not also to live godly lives in a pagan society today? So even though this was written about 2,000 years ago, but it is still relevant to us today. Malaysia is definitely not a Christian country. And even when we look at Christian country, how are they behaving? Once again, brothers and sisters, governments, the nations today, everywhere in the world is not perfect because Jesus has not come back yet. So regardless in Malaysia, whether it is Najib, Muhyiddin, Ismail, Sabri Yaakob, or Anwar, they are going to fall short of God's standard. We are going to fall short of God's standard because we are sinners. They too do not know God. So as light-bearing citizens, first of all, there are only 2 points. The first point is that we are to submit to national and local officials. This is found in verses 13 to 15. So once again, let me quickly read to you. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. So we have authority above us. We are to obey certain rules. And especially for Malaysia, we know that, you know, the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong, to commend those who do right, we cannot relate to that because it is not happening that often in Malaysia. Now, for those who are not Malaysian, let me bring to your attention, you aren't a real Malaysian unless you have done 9 of these things. Okay, so we have Malaysians here, and I believe we have international friends here as well. So, for Malaysian, we are very familiar with all these 9. Alright, so the first one is jaywalking. Do you know what's jaywalking? Walk as, you know, just whenever, whatever, you know, right? So this is Malaysian. So when Malaysian goes to Singapore, it's very obvious. They just, you know, walk whenever we feel like it. Now, using the powerful hand gesture, how many of us has used that power before? Right? It's so powerful that in the midst of a traffic, you can just walk straight ahead with the hand. Right? And of course, this may not be applied to everybody. Be late for at least 30 minutes. Hopefully not lah. Alright? And some of us, we may also do not give donations to police officers, but generally to be a Malaysian, real Malaysian. Alright? You are supposed to give certain donations to police officers. And of course, we have the eating banana leaf rice with your hands. How many of you have done that? This is our culture, right? And then we have the next few. Lepak in mama store or shops until wee hours. I believe those who are younger, those days before COVID, we have done that. We watch football as well. So some of us who are gung-ho, you know, football fan. And sometimes, or very often, we stop and stare and an accident. This is just our culture. All right, then, can you guess which is the 9? Which is the last one? To be a real Malaysian. Sorry? Durian, okay? Huh, what? I heard something, yes. Okay, it's our very complex English sentence. They... 我们 Pak Tor always makan at Kopitiam one. So we have Tamil there, we have Mandarin there, we have Cantonese, we have English, we have Malay, we have Hokkien, and we have one. That we cannot explain why. Why is it there? Why is the one there? Why? This is Malaysia. And if you notice, out of the 9 things, even though we say that it is our culture, there are a few that's actually against the law. Right? So sometimes we just have to be careful. It's culture. Things against God's law. So it is very hard for us to, you know, separate them to a point that we are no longer Malaysian, we are totally Christian, or we are saying that we are a Malaysian, but somewhat Christian. It is going to be very, very hard because we are living in a fallen world, brothers and sisters. So if we have used the hand or jaywalking or gave donations to the police officer, let us all repent and not do it anymore. But imagine, hopefully it won't happen in Malaysia, but imagine a country without submission to ordinances or institutions. The society will be in utter chaos. We have seen this footage, you know, videos from other countries. There were riots and all these things. Chaos is not God's will for the world. Law and order are God's will. Test time. Do you still remember the sequence in Genesis story? Out of the 7 days, okay, we don't talk about the 7 day because God rested on the 7 day. Can you identify out of these 6 picture which one is the 1st day, 2nd day, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th day? Can I? The first book in the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible, creation story. Okay, so we have that. I can't really see. The one is sky and stuff. and then there's the fish and the birds, and then there is darkness and light, right? Okay, think about it. Put a number. I'm going to announce the results in about 5 seconds' time. Look at it. Which one is number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Okay, let's see how much you can score. Okay, ready? You have numbers already? You have no numbers already? Okay, 3, 2, 1. Okay. All right. Now, I won't ask you to raise up your hand if you got everything correct. Okay, you yourself know lah. All right. Now, so God created day and night on the first day, sky and ocean, the second day, land, plants, and tree on the third day, moon, sun, and stars on the fourth, birds and fishes on the fifth day, men and animals on the sixth day, and last day, God rested. Can you imagine if the order or the sequence is whichever, apart from this sequence? God definitely can create man and animals on the first day, right? Out of nothingness, definitely God can create them. But where is He going to place them? You see that throughout creation story, how God works, God always has law and certain order. Things make sense in a way. Things comes about from God's divine wisdom. So God's intention for our world is law and order. And because of that, we are going to have to submit to the authority of God and to obey His commands. And this is the God whom we are worshiping this morning. This is the God who created the heavens and the earth that we are worshiping this morning. And God is talking through Peter to command us to submit ourselves for the Lord's sake, for His sake, for God's sake. So Romans 13 verse 1, let everyone be subject to the government authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God, which means the good ones, the not so good ones, the bad one, the rotten ones. All of these are established by God for His purpose and for His glory. Now, some of us, we have a lot of questions. Why God has to surround the Israelites with all this group of people? The Moabites, the Edomites, the Canaanites, the Egyptians, the Hittites, the ancient Babylonians, the ancient Assyrians, and now Philistines. Why do God have to use and establish and raise this group of people up to suppress and to make Israelites suffer? So similarly today, why does God have to have US, China fighting, then you have Russia and Ukraine fighting? We are suffering. Why is God doing all this? So if you have certain questions like this, I have a good announcement to you towards the end of this service. Okay, stay tuned until then. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, this is the establishment of God's kingdom in the future. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Jesus is coming back, brothers and sisters. Let us hold on to the fact that Jesus is coming back. And even though this place is not perfect for now, we are looking forward to the coming back of Jesus. And if you are familiar with the book of Revelation, we have the judgment in Revelation chapter 19, 20. And eventually, when we reach Revelation chapter 22, verses 11 to 15, this is what it says here. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the wild person continue to be wild. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy people continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Again, separation. People who belong to God, people who do not belong to God. And brothers and sisters, I want to assure you that God's kingdom is coming, and I hope all of us here belong to God. That we are going to be the one that is entering into the city. Are you assured of your salvation this morning? Do you know where are you going when the day comes? Do you know where are you going when the day comes? For many of us, our focus is always on the bad guys. Our focus is on the rulers of the government. Because they behave so and so, I will not give my tax. I will not do anything as a citizen. But we see clearly that this passage here, our focus should be on the believers and how you and I, we ought to obey God's command to submit to the national and local authorities. Again, it is a reminder to us to live in such a way that foolish people will not say anything like, Christians also like that, ma. Christians also don't give tax, what? Christians also do illegal U-turn. Christians also speeding. So I believe most of us here, our car has no Christian signage. Right? We wouldn't dare. Because we know for sure that we are going to be not such a good testimony to the world. Let us be encouraged that we are not to shy away. If you are convinced, if you are able to keep yourself accountable to God, I would like to challenge you to put that sticker up. Walk for Jesus. Something that is related to Jesus on your car. Then you will always be accountable. You will always be able to guard your ways. So we are not to shy away from our responsibilities as citizens of Malaysia. So hopefully we pay our taxes, we obey our traffic rules, we obey all the civil and constitutional law. So let us explore for a while to every human authority. So God has given us authority, established by God, ordained by God. We have the family, we have the government, we have the church, and of course, in terms of business, we have the employer and employees. These are some of the topics we'll be talking in the next few sermons, because Peter has laid them out one by one. Some people are faithful, so they have faithful parents, but some of them, they did not do a good job. They did a terrible job. But we have to remember, whether it is the government, whether it's a church, whether it's a family, we are ordained by God in a way to be answerable to God. We will have to give an account to God when the day comes. So don't look at those who have great power, right? They have greater responsibility as well. So if God has put you into a position of power, you need to remember to use that power wisely to God's glory. Because one day we shall give an account to God. And the second point is that to live as free citizens, yet as servants of God. Now, Christians who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, our Savior, subject ourselves to God above all law. We have a very good example here. So if a man's law stands against God's law, the believer obeys God rather than man. And so we see a good example, especially in the story of Daniel in chapter 6, that, you know, the Daniel in the den of lions. So anyone who is not familiar with this story. Okay, so let me briefly share with you. We have a king. We have some royal administrator who were jealous of Daniel. They cannot find fault with Daniel. And because of that, they tried something that is religious in nature. All right? So they approached the King Darius, and they asked the king to make a law that will be strictly enforced that any person who prays to anyone, whether it is of divine nature or human, except to the king, they will be thrown into the den of lions. And then we see how Daniel responded here. In chapter 6, verse 10. When Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and he knelt as usual in his upstairs room with its window open towards Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day just as he had always done, giving thanks to the Lord. Daniel knew what's happening. Daniel knew that if he continued his practice, he will be thrown into the dens of lions. But yet we see that in verse 10, he did as usual. He put God's law first. And even though after that they caught him, they threw him into the dens of lions, God sent his angel and God shut the mouths of the lions. And out of this whole thing, this was the response from the king. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every tongue in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So ultimately, when we say that, you know, we obey God over man, God is going to be glorified. God is going to be glorified. That is one end. So when we look at the other end of the spectrum, there is always a danger that the believer can use his freedom as a cloak of will to act maliciously against the authority, whether it is the government, whether it is a church, or whether it is the family. So William Berkeley said this, you know, any great Christian doctrine can be perverted into an excuse for evil. So if you are familiar with the doctrine of grace, it could be an excuse for us for sinning to one's heart contain, because God will still forgive us, ma. If we talk about the doctrine of love of God, it could be, you know, God loves us so much that we also love everybody even though they are still sinning. They are still living in a life of sin. Again, an excuse to sin. We have the doctrine of life, we have the doctrine of Christian freedom and Christian liberty that all we can be misusing. And 2 Peter verses 2, chapter 2 verse 19 here is a warning to us that this group of false prophets and false teachers, they promise them freedom while they are slaves of depravity, for people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. So what are some of our habitual sin this morning? Is there certain things that we need to let go? Because sometimes we very often use the doctrine of grace that God is gracious, God is love, God will accept me who we are. So there is no need for me to repent. Is there a certain portion of our life that requires repentance and coming back to God? Different areas Peter has addressed. And these are some of the topics for the next 3 sermons that I'm having. And it so happens that Follow Christ's Great Suffering falls on Easter Sunday. And the wedlock or deadlock sermon falls in between Mother's Day and Father's Day. So we'll be having one sermon for Mother's Day, one sermon for Father's Day, and I think in between it so happens that we are going to talk about marriage. So God is good. God's timing is marvelous in such a way that it follows on to what He has in store for us. God is the one who removes kings and raises kings. Daniel 2:20-21. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises others. So regardless of what is happening here on earth, in Malaysia, everywhere else, we are to be reminded that this God whom we worship this morning, He is the God who is in control. We just have to remember that. We often forget about it. We often feel helpless now and then. But we have to remember that this God whom we worship every single day of our life, that we have put our trust and hope in Him, this God is the God who is in control of all things. And as Christians, we should pray for our leaders. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Do you pray for your leaders? Whether it is somebody who is the government officials, or whether it is the church leaders, your CG leaders, your Sunday school teachers, do you pray for your boss? Do you pray for your those who works under you? Do we submit them to God in prayer? Lastly, believers are the servants of God, not the servants of their own ideas and thoughts. We are called to serve God and to answer His call, not our own lusts and desires. So we have to remember that we are belonging to God and we are supposed to live in a way that pleases God. And we obey God. You and I, we choose to obey God because this is what He commands us to do as light-bearing citizens. To live a life that is blameless, submitted to God's authority. So for many of us, maybe, especially for me, a reminder not to drive so recklessly on the road. I believe there are certain areas in our life that we need to let go and let God take control. Is there such an area in our life today? Shall we come to the Lord in prayer? Let us pray. Father, we know that Your command is clear. You have called us to be light-bearing citizens, whether it is Malaysia, whether it is from our home country, Lord. But nevertheless, wherever we are from, You have called us to be light-bearing. And for that, Lord, we want to ask that You forgive us, because most of the time, or very rarely, we take into consideration that we should belong or we should contribute to our nation. Help us make right all these wrongs in our hearts. That, Lord, You help us to change all this perspective in our life, that we can choose to obey You because Your word clearly says so. And, Lord, we choose to obey You because of who You are, because we have surrendered our lives to You. And, Lord, we pray that You will continue to help us to live out a life that is victorious in You. We are weak. We are forgetful. But, Lord, with You by our side, we are forgiven. And Your mercies are new every morning. So help us, Lord, to be the best version that we can be with Your help. With the Holy Spirit guiding us, with the Holy Spirit leading us, Lord, we pray that we will be able to live a life that is light-bearing, that people see us and find us blameless before You. So, Lord, we just want to pray that You continue to have us in Your presence. Continue to draw us into Your presence daily. And Lord, we just want to pray especially for the brothers and sisters here, Lord. Help us to identify all our weaknesses, all our hidden sins, all our habitual sins, Lord. That we can be turned anew daily. That it's never too late for us to come back to You. And Lord, we also want to pray for the offering that we are going to collect in a while. Pray that, Lord, You convict us of our hearts as to how much we should give. And that, Lord, for those who are still reluctant, we pray that, Lord, You will help us to obey You. Because it is Your commandment to give a tenth of our portions. And we pray that, Lord, in our giving, in our financial, in our monetary issues, we are also able to submit to You and to put our trust in You. So help us to be obedient to you also in our offering, in our tithes. And there will be a joyful giver for the expansion of your kingdom here in Klang Valley and towards Malaysia. And we pray the Lord, you will continue to help us to be obedient in every walk of our life, starting in our own life. And we just want to thank you for listening to our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.